we want to change energy access in Nigeria, right? And we want to make sure that the unserved and underserved get access to energy. A huge demography of people that you cannot have this conversation without is the young people. And so in partnership with Daniel and the Nigerian Energy Forum, we said, you know what, how do we make a difference? Let's come up with a challenge, right, that actually gets young people thinking about solutions to the energy deficit that, you know, that we have in the country. And that's how the TIEC was born. Hello, welcome to Solar Roundtable. My name is Jadisola Rawa, and this is brought to you by Olon. And I'm super excited. I know I say this every episode, how super excited I am, but honestly, today I'm very excited because I have not one person, but two people in the studio with me today that I'm going to be talking to. No, actually three, because we're also going to have someone else join us later in the conversation. But for now, we're starting with two gentlemen. And I'm super excited because these people are doing amazing things in the space, and I cannot wait to introduce you to them and have a conversation with them. So to my left, and starting, I'm going to start with engineer, because you have to call people by their titles. They're serious people like that. So there's engineer Daniel Adeoye, and he's the chairperson of Nigerian Energy Forum. And I'm going to let him say hello and tell us about Nigerian Energy Forum in a minute.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having us. Yes, Daniel is my name. The Nigerian Energy Forum is the foremost energy platform for policy discourse, stimulating innovation and promoting investment across the clean energy sector and energy transition space within Nigeria and Africa.
Awesome. So that's Engineer Daniel. And to my right, we have Valentine Namani. And I was saying to Valentine before the camera started rolling, I was like, Valentine, you don't even look like you're from the, is it from the East, like Southeast, yeah. Right? And you know, and Valentine was like, maybe when I speak my language, you know, so okay, do Valentine. So I have Valentine, and Valentine is with One Grid Energies. And yeah, do you want to introduce yourself and how you do?
Hi everyone, it was actually a great opportunity to be here today to speak with you all. My name is Valentine Namani from One Grid Energies, and I happen to be the CEO of One Grid Energies. And basically, we are trying to revolutionize access to renewable energy, because, you know, from where I came from, I didn't have access to electricity, and I'm trying to make sure that every child don't pass through the same situation that I passed through. And we have actually lured out a lot of energy products that is impacting thousands of lives in rural communities.
Yay, well done. So you see why I said I'm super excited to talk to those people. But let me give you a little bit of a background, right? So Olon, a few years ago, in partnership with the Nigerian Energy Forum, said, you know what, we want to change energy access in Nigeria, right? And we want to make sure that the unserved and underserved get access to energy. But we're like a huge demography of people that you cannot have this conversation without is the young people. And so in partnership with Daniel and the Nigerian Energy Forum, we said, you know what, how do we make a difference? Let's come up with a challenge, right, that actually gets young people thinking about solutions to the energy deficit that, you know, that we have in the country. And that's how the TIEC was born. So that's the Tertiary Institution Energy Challenge, right, in partnership with NEF. And so I'm going to let Daniel talk to us a little bit about that whole challenge, because, you know, they've kind of like, you know, taken it and run with it. Tell us a little bit about it and how, you know, we now came to have my brother my brother Valentine in the room with us today. So
super, yeah. No, thank you very much, Jadisola. Yes, so stimulating energy innovation competitions for young people has been a key part of the Nigeria Energy Forum's core remit and objectives over the last 10 years. And to understand where all of this comes from, you need to dial back 13 years ago. You know, I was studying for my master's degree at Cardiff University in the UK. Got a chance to participate in a student essay, energy essay contest, as part of the World Energy Forum. And, you know, out of the blues, I was shortlisted in the top 10, then invited over to Dubai, right, to the World Energy Forum. And then I won the first prize, right? And I was, you know, presenting, you know, an acceptance speech to heads of state from across the world. And that really left something in me to say, look, if all of the right people gathered in the room here in this World Energy Forum in Dubai, they are not close to the realities of where these energy access challenges are at. How can you make a difference? And at that point, I think it became like the penny dropped and it was like, look, you have to take a stand. You have to make this work. You have to drive and lead the solution, right, for where it really matters. And I think that's where this whole thing started from. So 2016, so this was 2012, the competition. 2016, we had the first Nigeria Energy Forum, and I was privileged to be part of the team that co-founded and, you know, led that. And ultimately, we, as a point of policy, really insisted we must have a competition that targets the young people, gives them an opportunity to come into that forum, meet with industry.
I just remember there was the Africa Challenge before we started the TIAC.
And that started from 2016. And then by, I think, 2022, that evolved into the Tertiary Student Institution Energy Peer Challenge, just to try and reach not young professionals who have graduated, but now, you know, undergraduates across universities, polytechnics, who are really sort of, you know, if you like, the young talent that would drive the future of this clean energy sector, really. And I think our first alumni in 2023 were One Grid Energies. Valentine, at the time, won the first prize within that Tertiary Student Pitch Contest in July of 2023. We gave them about 4 months to demonstrate their progress. And then by the time we were having the finals of the Africa Context in November of 2023, they also won the first prize.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to show,
super excited to talk about. Like, I can't even wait to share with you guys what that solution is, because I think one of the things that I'm excited about this is the fact that, one, it's young people. Secondly, it gives an opportunity to students that they otherwise wouldn't have. Number three is they're solving, you guys are solving real life problems, which is fantastic. And number four is the impact of the work that, you know, of the work that you guys do. So I'm going to come back to you, Daniel, in a second. But Valentine, tell me about what your entry was for 2023, right? For the competition. And just talk us through why that was the idea you had, how you guys put in for the competition, and how it's been since then.
All right. So thank you so much for this opportunity. Basically, it came from a personal problem. While growing up, I didn't have access to electricity. And then I passed through two incidents that actually shaped my whole story. You know, the first was in 2012 when I was using candles, I used candles. I was reading and the candle fell on my book. I slept off and, you know, it burnt out, burned everywhere. And, you know, when I woke up, everywhere was burnt, right? So that was actually a terrible experience. Then the second one was a problem of plastic waste. So when I was coming back from the market, from my mom's shop, and, you know, when it rains heavily here in Nigeria, you know, most of the drainage lines get filled up. And I was trying to, you know, make my way home. And unfortunately, I fell into a drainage line, you know, that it's taller than me, right? So, you know, the water was, you know, carried me away, but people rushed and dragged me out from there. And that was actually how I survived, right? I wasn't skilled, I wouldn't have been here today to share this story.
There's a reason why you're here.
Sure. Everything around me, you know, I grew up in a community or in a place that wasn't fully, you know, it was poverty oriented, right? So I was trying to make my way out with the fact that I needed to help so many other people that, you know, that passed through this problem, right? So we have been to so many rural communities in Nigeria, and then all my journey actually inspired all the projects we are doing, which I will, you know, introduce you to. We have like three powerful projects ongoing, and the second of them was inspired through, you know, the first product, right? We went to this rural community that they don't have access to electricity. The electricity grid has not entered this community. Literally, the children play in the dark at night, don't read at night because there is no light. There is no even power for the women to even cook their food. Talk more of the ones for the children to read. right? Then the interesting thing struck me was the healthcare in that community, that they, you know, they deliver the child with candle, right? And then I now had to, like, what's all this? Is this how the energy poverty has went to? Then they were like, they do even deliver with phone touch lights and so. And it's quite visible because the community is not connected to the grid. How do you expect the healthcare to thrive, right? So all those things actually shaped my story. And then I thought to myself, how can I be able to bring out a solution that's solving real-time problem? Because also along the line, I discovered that we have a lot of renewable energy, you know, companies in Nigeria. But then the statistics keep increasing, you know, when we started, it was around 17 million people in Nigeria that don't have access to electricity. But now it's 19 million people. Where are all the funding is going to? Discover that the people that are actually solving this problem, the solutions we have are not reaching there. You understand? So I was like, how can we be able to create a solution that is working? Most importantly, working, it is sustainable, not like, I'm a renewable energy company and I have this product that I sold maybe 200,000
and then people can afford it. And that's what's interesting about what you entered the competition with, right? Because if I recollect correctly, you're powering, you went on to power this healthcare community with plastic waste. Just very quickly tell me how, because I would never have thought about it, that plastic would generate power.
So, you know, how we're able to do it is that, so it's all, you know, came from trying to merge these two problems together, the plastics and the energy poverty. I tried to merge it together. How can we be able to create something out of this that is working? By then, in those rural communities, even something as basic as affording a good touchlight is a problem. And now you have a solution, a solar home system that you are trying to sell. It's not going to sell. They have not even bought a good touchlight. You understand? So what we did was, you know, we went there, you know, we established solar charging stations. We made sure that those solar charging stations are managed by women in the form of women empowerment, because we thrive so much on that, right? Then we built this lantern that we made from plastic waste. Right, and it's made it super affordable because we also used e-waste lithium-ion batteries from laptops, right? So that also how we solve another problem. So we merged all of them together to form a lantern, and you know, when we go there, we distribute these lanterns, and they come there to charge. You know, they also used it in the healthcare, and then we also went ahead to start One Health. You know, One Health went ahead to power the healthcare centers, and also do that in so many communities. It also went ahead to powering, you know, it also went ahead into maintenance of solar systems all over Nigeria.
How many communities? Because I'm just in awe of what you're doing. Because have you graduated now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see you now. He's a big boy now. When did you graduate?
I graduated, that should be 2 years now.
2 years now, really? Okay, so the same year that you guys won the competition is when you graduated. Exactly. So have you done your youth corps?
Not yet.
So now you're looking for time to go and do it.
It's not time for it, actually.
So my thing is, in terms of impact, how many communities now, just off the top of your head, would you say that your solutions are in and, you know, creating value? How many communities?
So basically, currently we have 3 communities, and we have thousands of
people.
And then when we look at the impact is reaching 900,000 people currently, right? Because the recent innovation that we launched now is called Unbox. And that's actually a revolutionizer, to be honest. It's going to displace, you know, it's going to help a lot of people. I'm just so excited about it.
So are we hearing it first? We're heard it here first.
You know, we have actually launched. We have launched and we're looking at scaling up. Do you understand? So Onebus is actually a mesh grid system. Do you understand? Because one of the major challenges of these people in rural communities is that they need 2 basic things or 3 basic things. If you can be able to solve it for them, you have solved a lot of problems. light. They need good light. Mm. One, they need to charge their mobile phones and then give them fan.
Yeah.
If you can power the television, then that's extra. So that's what one box does. It does that. So each one box powers 20 families.
Mm.
It enables 20 families to have access to good electricity.
Do you know, like, I could talk to you forever, but I have someone that is going to join the conversation. And what's interesting to me is just off the fact that everything that you're saying, you don't even realize. You think that, okay, we've impacted 3 communities and then like all those people. But what you're doing is also impacting other young people that to create solutions that, you know, that will change lives. So we're gonna take a very short break and we're gonna come back. When we come back, we would have bounced Daniel because he's of the older generation, and today I'm just chilling with the Gen. What are you people said? Is this Z or Alpha? Which one? No, this is a CEO now, so he doesn't know what Gen it is. But when we come back, we're gonna talk to someone who was the winner of this year.
Correct.
We just recently had the competition again this year.
Correct.
And so before I bounce Daniel, just tell us very quickly about who we're going to be talking to when we come back.
Super. We'll be speaking to the first prize winner of the 2025 Tertiary Institutions Energy Contest. This year, the contest, I believe, exceeded all expectations.
How many entries did you get this year?
We got 93 plus entries from about 400 student teams across 25 different states from 30 different institutions in Nigeria. We did ask, you know, the student teams to then obviously submit a 1-minute video pitch for the top 10 entries, and we invited the public to vote on that. Over a 7-day period, we got almost 30,000 plus views and votes, and we thought, let's extend this by 3 more days, and within 3 days the votes doubled, right, to somewhere over 60,000 votes cumulative, you know. And that just goes to show, I mean, the amazing impact, the amazing sort of innovation, genuinity, right, coming out of the raw talent available within our tertiary institutions across the country. And I think for us, this really demonstrates that, you know, innovation knows no boundary, right? Innovation knows no tribe. It knows no, if you like, geographical limitations, right? And I think all on really contributing to making this difference across what will probably be an unreached, you know, if you like, demographic within the value chain is really, really commendable. And we must say thank you to all of for this.
Thank you. All of us say thank you. No, but thank you very much. And like you heard, you know, all of this is made possible by Olon. And so we bounced Daniel. But we've replaced Daniel with a fantastic young man. And I have here in the studio with us now, Fibechi Desmond.
Yes.
And Fibechi, you're from what university?
University of Cross University.
Okay. And what's the title of your project or your...
Okay, Green Preserve.
Green Preserves. So Fibechi is the brand new winner of the TIEC Challenge 2025. Yay. And I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about the entry that won, you know, the first prize. This competition just happened not too long ago, a few days ago.
Yeah.
And so tell us about One Preserve and what you guys are trying to do with that. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to take that back. How did you hear about this competition? What made you and your teammates decide to do it? And then tell us about One Preserve.
Okay, so that's a lot of questions. All right, so how did we get to know about the project? Sorry, the competition itself, TIEC. So I got a random notification via email. Yeah, TIEC 3.0 is out. And I think I had subscribed to their newsletter one time like that. And then I was like, oh, this is actually an opportunity to actually implement this thing that I've been thinking. So let me divert to what Green Preserve is all about. So how did Green Preserve come about? I'm staying in a rural place, Akwabio, precisely in Cross River State, and it's a whole lot. Yeah, life is quite difficult there. You're having people moving from there to town. When I say town, that's Calabar, the capital itself. Yeah, so it's a rural place where the only source of livelihood is farming, agriculture. You're farming okra, cucumber, and all of that. So this particular thing, there's no power supply. Because of that, there's no power supply. And it's very difficult for people farmers, women and youth, because those are the people that actually work very well. It's very difficult for them to store their product, and you always get them complaining, I really need to sell this stuff before my market spoils. Yeah, so I even have neighbors like that. They keep complaining. I even had someone that drifted from selling tomato to selling stockfish because you understand. Yeah. So that kind of thing. And because of that, the power supply is bad. I was not like, what can actually be done? Okay, there's a cool room there in Akwa Ibom, but the cost of actually running this cool room is the problem. There's no power, there's no light, and you're buying fuel at expensive price. We're talking about 1,000 and all of that. So running the cool room was difficult for the person that was handling it, and
they shut down.
You had to shut down, and there's no cool room in Akwa Ibom right now. There's no way you can do that. So I was like, okay, since people are actually living in a hot, because most people live in mud houses, let me put it that way, clay houses here. And these houses can actually hold that temperature, that cold temperature. It's very conducive. The roofing is good. Rain doesn't fall inside and all of that. Why don't I use something related to that and then have that cool room? Because constructing that building, it's very easy. Just get bamboo. There's bamboo everywhere. Get your palm fronds, get the clay, those things around. Exactly. So you're just going to set up the structure, and what's just needed is the cooling unit, the solar panel for power, and then the battery to run at night. So that's basically where
Green preserves. Like, I'm listening to all you young people and I'm thinking, like, I don't know where you people's brains come from, because when I was your age, I just wanted to find work. And then you have Valentine now, go and do youth service now. He has refused to go. He's a CEO now. And then you're on your way to CEO-ship. So, oh my goodness. But I'm so inspired just listening to you guys, because one of the things that I hear and which is really inspiring for me is that you guys, these problems are there. And you've decided that we're going to solve these problems and we're going to use the resources around. Because if you listen to Valentine, they're using plastic to power up communities. Now you're going to use, you know, just things that you find around your, you know, community to, you know, create change. And I know that when we're talking before, you had said something about how Valentine identifies. So how what the connection
is. So months back, I think weeks before I even saw that, I had seen one grid. I do research for the Global Center on Climate Adaptation, and then someone was talking about the cold storage, and then I don't know, one grid came on my page, and then I started following it. I love good branding, and good branding, one grid has that. Yeah, they're very good at their branding. And then I was like, okay, this is actually nice. I followed them. I went through all their pictures, their documentaries, everything perfect. And the economic model is, I'm getting it from One Grid. How they make their money, their one box. I can tell you everything in your project. Exactly. So I followed One Grid, got how they are actually going into communities. I'm like, okay, I can actually follow this pattern. The one box, okay, something related to mine. We're having crates. This food product will be stored in crates and stacked, and then we'll charge at a very subsidized price and all of that. And One Grid is having that solar powered, and even in my, if my reference, I have One Grid there, because yes, exactly.
What state is your solution? Where did you start your solution from?
Anambra State.
Yeah. And then now this is Cross River.
Yes.
I'm just really excited. So one question I'm going to ask you both, because you both will have the feeling for this question, is when you were announced, meanwhile, not only did you win the first prize, right?
Yeah.
Naira,
yeah.
You also won the public vote.
Yes.
How did that, what was the feeling like? Because there were, Daniel said just now that we had over 400 teams from over 25 universities.
Yeah.
That
over 93, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So how did it make you feel when you heard your name announced as winners?
Okay. So that whole feeling was, I've never done this before. I've never had a pitch. I've never done anything. And when you called the third, the second, I was like, okay, I'm actually going to give up. I knew someone that was quite better. I felt so. And then I was surprised. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that few seconds, I was like, Green Preserve. Okay. So
you guys won it for the first time, right? The first competition. So how did you feel? Yeah. Can you relate?
Yeah, I can relate, actually. It works like magic. It was like magic. But what I was most proud of was that, you know, ability for someone to believe in you. You understand? It's more like gives you a super validation. And then I was super happy because my community was about to, you know, experience something. Because from there, we went to deploy our solution. It's impacted a lot of lives. So I was happy that I'm getting a support that is going to impact people's lives. And that was what I was super proud of.
I could literally talk to you guys forever because I'm just so inspired, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of bad rap, right, about your generation and young people. They don't want to work, you know, they don't want to do this. But just listening to you guys, you know, it just gives me a lot of hope for Nigeria. So just before we round up, I mean, again, I could talk to you guys forever, but just before we round up, right, I want to hear from you, Valentine. You know, you're an OG now in this business.
Two years is OG.
OG, exactly. OG. I just showed my Gen Z self. You're an OG now in this business. So what does the future hold for you and your, you know, your team? Like, what do you guys, in 5 years, where do you want to see One Great Energies?
Yeah, basically in 5 years, we're trying to see One Great Energies. We're not looking at trying to dominate or trying to take over energy startups, you know. We're trying to see One Great Energies do the right thing that's actually reaching out lives and impacting lives. Right? Then we happen to be a social enterprise. We do social good and make profit, right? We're trying to, at the end of, you know, 5 years' time, we're hoping to reach at least 10 million children and 10 million women in rural communities. Trust me, that's going to reduce the gap and the numbers that you have there that don't have access to electricity.
I just got goosebumps because honestly, if I've never believed anybody before, I actually believe that you guys can do it. And I am so inspired by that. Yeah, and I'm super excited that Olon was able to be a part of the beginning of your journey. And I'm hoping that, you know, there are other ways that Olon as an organization and possibly others out there will be able to support you to achieve this. I really believe you. And I hopefully maybe 2 years, no, maybe in about 5 years, and I will sit down again and we'll have this conversation. You're going to be like, how far will it take you? Because I'm going to ask you. And how about you, Richie? You just won this, you know, so you're kind of like on your way. So what do you think the future holds for you, Green Preserve? How do you, kind of just tell me what your dreams are.
Okay. So just as you said earlier, the narratives, how a lot of young persons are actually deviating from what needs to be done. Everyone is dancing on TikTok.
I know.
Everyone is wearing crazy clothes. Yeah, everyone is. Yeah. So for us, I feel it's more like being like that role model that we should not give our parents this narrative that we can't do things like this. Rather, we should step up our game and be creative and innovative in whatever we are doing. Yeah, we're going to actually impact the project, but at the same time, what we want is to make other young persons think outside their box, do something for this generation, do something for everyone, and also do something for the future. So basically, it's like teaching every young person like us that we can do it, so you should also be able to do it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm literally so inspired by you guys. I feel my age today, you people. Like, I actually feel old talking to the two of you. But I think what I'm taking away from this conversation, one is the fact that the young people out there making a difference. You guys are two super examples of that. Number two is the fact that the kind of support that Olon has given, you know, just starting this competition and, you know, can make a difference. People think like, oh, you need like crazy amounts of money to make a difference. But you know, a 2 million naira prize, what did you guys get in your time when it was for us first prize winner? I don't think it was up to 2 million. Because I won't, exactly, you know, can make a difference, you know. And I'm just going away from this episode super excited, super inspired. And I'm hoping that this episode speaks to one young person out there to understand that, look, there are opportunities, they're available, and you just need to like take the first step. Thank you, gentlemen, for talking to me today.
Thank you so much.
Excited for what the future holds for you people. Thank you. I can go and tell my Gen Alpha child that because I'm like, see your mates. See your mates. But until we come back to you with another inspiring episode of the Solar Roundtable, my name is Jadisola, and this was brought to you by Olon. Ciao.
Thank you very much.